post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst, the near post, get there first.
Welcome to the local football capital half hour. We're kind of the same but different. Okay, Russ Gibbs has now joined us, our expert commentator. Russ, Fitzpatrick Marin still with us in the studio. Michelle Bertrand, myself, Eamon Flanagan. Russ Gibbs, here you are. First game on the weekend. You called a game. I listened at home. Absolutely fantastic call, Russ, if I don't mind you me saying.
Very kind of you, Eamon. Thanks very much.
I'm a kind sort of bloke. But in this case, I'm sincere because it was brilliant, Russ. Really enjoyed the flow. Yourself and Merrin Sherwood in the first half, and then Heather Reid joined in the second half. Great. It was great. It was great listening, and I think anybody listening beyond camera would have got a real a buzz out of the game. And those moments in the second half, particularly early on when there was a goal at both ends, pure quality radio. Do you know what I mean? Absolutely great for somebody listening at home. You know, goals going in, and you called it beautifully, Russ. Where did you learn to do this?
Well, I had a bit of training back in the UK, but calling a game with a different shaped ball, which you guys, I can't call it, call it.
Don't really
want to
talk about that yet.
But we don't talk about games with odd shaped balls on this radio show.
There's only one kind of ball for us.
Now, Russ, you obviously women's football, Australian football, Canberra football hasn't been much of it on the telly over the years. How difficult was it then to step into the commentary box? You know, having rarely seen these players play, and particularly from the Mariners, probably never seen them play, you know, to get the names right and to call it.
I had a lot of help initially from Chris Goddison, the staff of Capital Football, supplying me with information on the Canberra United girls, which being our local team and the team that we're going to be calling each week is a big help. And then, of course, it's down to a bit of research and brushing up on the players. Fortunately, you know, you get a McKellar Park, you get a decent view at the top there. You can see... With the women's players, they're different shapes physically. To the men, you get a lot of them that are similar shapes, similar builds. With the women, though, it's very much a case of you've got big players like Renee Rollison, and then you've got really small players like Teresa Pelaez in the Central Coast team. So after a couple of minutes, you tend to get the gist and see where they are on the field.
If you're sitting at home, I mean, who knows whether he got it right anyway.
Absolutely. I could just be making it up. I think Canberra actually won that game. I'm not sure.
And I must point out, I mean, Heather Reid's long experience in calling games, but obviously, you know, we expect that from Heather. She knows all the, you know, women's football, so it's fantastic from Heather. But Merrin Sherwood, you know, young person coming through, obviously Canberra Times journalist, but again, outstanding call from Merrin. Really enjoyed both Heather and Merrin. So will they be joining you each week, or what's
I hope so. I mean, we're going to try and get Merrin in there again. Her knowledge of local football was very good, and the national, and nationally as well. She's done a lot of work, obviously, with her job with the Canberra Times. A little bit nervous, I think, she was to start one, but she got with the flow of it, and I think yeah, she's going to be a good asset to the team. And of course, Heather Reid brings her years and years of experience and knowledge to the local game and the national game as well. So it's going to be good. Hopefully we'll get them. And maybe we'll get some special guests throughout the season as well.
Yeah, it's great. It's a great team. And it's and fantastic for 2XX, Kim O'Vernon, setting up the and Arla Pentecon and setting up the show and the team back in the studio. It's all working well. Now we've got some local news. We're going to talk Canberra United again in just a few moments with Fitz and Michelle and Russ. But first in the local news. Canberra A-League has gained massive momentum with Melissa Fisher, Melbourne supporter, coming on board. The coverage in the local media for the Ned Zelich night. We've got coverage in the SMH, Fox Sports on the World Game, and viewers can see an SBS feature on the World Game on Sunday. Over 130 people attended a night at the A-League on Thursday. And, yeah, the message is really that you know, we're serious. We're deadly serious. You know, you might have heard, you know, you might have been around the last few months and we thought, yeah, it's a great idea and let's get behind it. But this is for real. This is like, we've never been so close to, you know, we've got so much going for us now.
I think we've just been pushing up a hill and we've just gone over a hill now and down the hill now. So I think we're on the way.
And I think that's what we've been trying to do, to be honest, Fitz. And we've been trying to get the message out there that we can have a football team. We've been trying to change a culture, really, over the last 6 months or so where, you know, Canberrans, well, you know, they talk about the Cosmos, oh, can we have a team, you know. Now suddenly we're going, yep, we can have a team. And what we've done is we've created this noise. Everybody has put in the work and the energy, whether it's just talking about the idea or whatever. Suddenly we've been able to get further support from outside of Canberra because of the work we've done.
Definitely.
And this is where we're at.
Yeah, and it's more about the future from here on and not about the past, so I think everybody needs to get behind it.
Yeah, and focus on, making this thing not just work, but we want it sustained and we want quality. We want real quality in the bid. Now, more news.
Yeah, local player Benny Padgett from the O'Connor Knights is joining Czech second division side FK Banik Most next week for a week's trial with the chance to sign on should he impress. Padgett's had trials with AC Milan in the past and spent some time in the Brazilian second division with clubs such as Estácio da Sá from Rio, Cruzeiro Juniors and the Valencia Futsal Club. And he also had a spell in England with Cheltenham Town and Exeter City, and we're hoping to get Benny on the phone a little bit later on to have a chat with him about that.
OK, so stay with that. We'll talk to Heather Reid in a few moments and then we'll try and get Benny Padgett on the phone. We've never tried it before, so bear with us. Now, Canberra A-League bus trip to Sydney versus Perth game, www.ateamforcanberra.com.au to sign up. It's a new website, or certainly revamped, so have a look at the website. Show your support for the A-League team. It's now or never. Quick couple of questions to you guys. What do you think Melissa Fisher brings to our bid?
Apart from the obvious and a bit of cash.
Yeah, well, they're not mentioning that at the moment. They're only talking about she's a supporter. So she's involved with Altona Magic and she's been involved in some other bids. What are your thoughts?
I think she's obviously a football fan, and she's like you say, she's been involved with the Altona Magic, and she's put forward a lot of money for their club. But she's, I think, just the business knowledge and the knowledge of having done something similar to this before with another club, I think, will bring a lot of experience to the bid.
She's actually had the Townsville licence herself before, so she's actually been given a licence before. Is it good to have out of town interest in the Canberra bid, or is that a problem?
Oh, definitely. I think it's. Compared to a lot of the other teams internationally, I mean, a lot of the teams are never owned really by local clubs, although the support needs to come from locally.
Yeah, that's a good point. In fact, hardly any team is owned by a local person yet.
Well, and I think obviously if we're going to get out-of-town investors, we're going to have out-of-town players involved in this. As much as it's a Canberra team, it's not just going to be insular and involved in the Canberra region. Of course, we're going to get people, and we encourage people from all over Australia to support Canberra United if they want to.
That's
people
right.
From all over the world support football teams that don't come from where they come from, so why not Canberra?
OK, Sam Munro. Other news, Sam Munro has helped the under-19 young soccerers qualify for the World Cup. Well done, Sam. And
I've got a couple of bits on the ACT Premier League, and the Queanbeyan City have had their licence revoked for failing to meet the criteria laid down by Capital Football. They can appeal, but at the moment it's looking a forlorn hope for them. With that in mind, the ACT Premier League has now been restructured with 8 teams in the top flight Capital's top flight competition, and there'll be 21 fixtures next season, and an expansion on this year's fixtures. Might put a bit of a strain on the Federation Cup, which will be likely to be brought forward as well, but that's good news. In more games is better news for everybody in the Premier League.
Certainly is. Talia Hogg has made the Australian under-16 team. She's former Socceroo Steve Hogg's daughter. She's currently on tour in Singapore. And Ivan Pavlak from Canberra FC, reliable sources say he's playing for the Adelaide United youth side. And Carl Valeri is in the Socceroo squad to play Bahrain. Just mentioned The Far Post is a new radio show in Canberra. Last week it was started, Plastic Pete and Galloping Gordo. What sort of names are that for a radio host? I mean, they listen to our show and they said, well, they can do it better. And they also, they said, oh, you've got an hour. Well, we've got two. So it's a near post against the far post. Galloping Gordo, Plastic Pete. I mean, get a life. It was quite good. I begrudgingly say they were probably, they were good, but for their first time. But 3 o'clock till 5 o'clock, if you're going to listen to the football on the weekend, I suppose you'd listen to Galloping Gordo. And a bit of competition is good, they say, but I'm not happy about it.
Well, I've got a vested interest, obviously, because my part of the show is involved with those boys.
You're always on the fence, both sides
on the fence.
Of the show. Near post, far post.
So having a vested interest in both shows, let's hope they go well.
Okay, we wish them well, but we'll be giving them heaps of stick on the near post. We say boo to the far post. Okay. Okay, you guys were at Canberra United on the weekend. Go for it. Give us your thoughts, Russ. What do you think of the game?
Well, as we were saying earlier, we got there about 45 minutes before the game. I actually intended to get there earlier than that, but I knew it was going to be a busy afternoon. We got there and there was a line of about 50 people and cars unable to find parking. So they were driving, basically trying to find parking around the streets of the suburb. And that's how impressive it was on the day.
I mean, the game was 10 minutes old and we were getting a message through in the commentary box that there was a queue still outside of people trying to get in for kickoff, which is great for Canberra as a whole. I mean, as far as the match went, it was a little bit disappointing for the home support. Canberra had a lot of half chances, really. Mm. Sasha McDonald in the first half had a couple of efforts which were smartly saved by Lisa Hartley. Obviously, the drama of the 5 minutes at the start of the second half when there was a goal at either end. And with the sending off, you really thought Canberra might take it, or take the game to Central Coast a little bit more. Unfortunately, for whatever reason, they couldn't quite find that critical breakthrough, despite having a lot of forwards on the field or attack-minded players. And it just wasn't to be. A couple of fortunate goals, I'd say, from Kaya Simon. As much as she's a great player, I think both of her goals had an element of fortune about them. And Canberra were a little bit disappointed with the 2-1 defeat.
It was this cross.
It was a scross.
It's a Russ Gibbs word. It was a scross. Shot come cross, and the scross went in, as they say. So, yeah, disappointing, but a fantastic start to W League. And it can only get better. Heather Reid, of course, sets high standards. She wants to see more people here next time. And, well, we all do, don't we?
Oh, definitely. I think that was a great start. And no doubt there'll be a few more people on the next game, home game as well.
Okay, sorry.
I was just going to say, even Capital Football cancelled the women's six-a-side so that the ladies could go out there and support the Canberra team. Which was
I mean, I guess that's one of the difficulties with all football. No matter when it's on, you're always going to get, there's so many people actually play the game, whether it's indoor, outdoor, whatever. You know, the cancellation of games is always going to be an issue, but I don't know whether Capital Football can do that all the time, but certainly great. And most of the games are on Saturday from now on, so it probably doesn't clash, so games. So that's good. So the next game's on TV. Caught up with Heather Reid last night. She was still shell-shocked, I think, by the loss, but delighted with the crowd, and but of course, once more. Anyway, this is what Heather had to say. Heather, opening home game, fantastic event, over 1,600 people there. We lost 2-1, but what are your impressions?
Oh, I thought it was a great afternoon. It was a beautiful day, and I was a bit apprehensive about what sort of crowd numbers we might get. But when somebody told me to look out the back window to see the crowd sort of snaking up around into the car park, I was absolutely rapt. It was almost a full house there at McKellar. We had just over 1,600 people. I sort of counted on maybe 500 to 800, so double the figures is absolutely terrific. The stadium, the ground, the signage, everything looked fantastic. Unfortunately, the score on the pitch didn't really help us very much, and I'm sure that the team will be disappointed losing to Central Coast Mariners. But look, it was a great football game, and I think given that it was only the third game that the team had played together, it's still very, very early days, but it looks good for the rest of the season.
Exciting to see so many people through the gates, and also the mix of the crowd was in the green and the younger and the old.
The diversity of the crowd was terrific. Lots of kids, lots of families. Noticed the number of our key football administrators from the various clubs. Still like to see a few more of our senior football people. Lots of the guys came along to support the women playing. We also had members from the other green team, the Canberra Raiders. They came out to support the team. We shared the same sponsor in the CFMEU, and that was a deliberate pitch of mine when I went to the CFMEU to say, you're supporting a men's team in a national football competition in winter. How about supporting a national women's team for a summer competition? But, yeah, really good diversity of the crowd. The sponsors were happy. I was really absolutely delighted.
And I know you've had some comments and feedback from people who've taken their daughters and kids to the game.
Yes, got a lovely email today from a mother who said that ordinarily she doesn't necessarily go along to games like that, but she took her daughter and some of the friends, and they were absolutely over the moon watching the players, the sort of skill levels displayed by the players and the whole atmosphere. As she said, it was just a complete buzz. Her daughter is now inspired to go on and want to be a better player and to aim to be either a member of the Canberra United or the Matilda squad. So that's enough for me. I'm sure there are many others out there that would probably put their fingers to the keyboard and let us know that. But I got a lot of comments from people yesterday before we left. A great game. And also, you know, a terrific effort from my staff in terms of making that happen too, because it's not, it just doesn't, you know, happen without too much planning and organisation. And we were quite fortunate that we had a home game the third week of the competition rather than first up. So with that, it gave us plenty of time to plan. We had a look at how things were put on in Newcastle in the first round, and we just did it bigger and better.
And next week we're on TV, or next home game we're against Adelaide United on TV.
Yeah, well, of course, next weekend, first of all, we've got to play Melbourne away at Bob Jane, and I saw that Melbourne play Perth on Saturday on ABC, and the pitch looks pretty awful, and the conditions don't look great down there in Melbourne, but Melbourne's a big, strong, tough team too by the looks of it. And then, yeah, our home game on the 22nd is a broadcast game. I hope that doesn't turn people away. I want people to actually come along, be seen in green and be seen on TV at the same time rather than sitting at home in the lounge watching it in their own homes. We want to make McKellar a sea of green and encourage everybody to come along and watch and support the Canberra United players.
Well, the word I've had from people is that everybody's going to be back, so it'll be Fortress McKellar, and I look forward to seeing you again at the game.
Lovely, that. That's great. Fortress McKellar. Yeah, bring it on. Bring it on.
That's CEO of Canberra United, Heather Reid. Fortress McKellar, that's what we want. We just have to win a few games to make it Fortress McKellar, but we can with the wave of support. Now we're doing an absolutely amazing experiment. Well, for us it is. We're hoping we've made a phone call out there to the ovals of Canberra to see who's running around. And the number went through and we ended up with Benny Padgett. Benny Padgett, are you there, Ben?
Yeah, I'm here, Eamon.
Oh, Ben, that's amazing. We're very excited. Now, Ben, I'm just overcome by the fact that the technology's worked. Okay, forgive me, Ben, for my excitement at the technology working. Now, Ben, you're down at the where are you? You're at Stromlo, are you?
I'm down at Stromlo High School at the new outdoor synthetic futsal courts that they got here, having a kick around with a few mates and
okay, let's name names.
Just enjoying the Tuesday afternoon.
Yeah, with a couple of key football players around town, Adam Spalletta and Michael Spalletta, is that right?
Yeah, that's them.
Who else is there? Anybody else who we know, any other football identities?
No, just some mates.
Okay, now you played with the Connor Knights reserves a little bit last season, but you're heading off to the Czech Republic, is that correct?
Yeah, 2007 I was with Connor Knights, and then this year I was with Canberra FC. And then, finish the season up with them and hoping to go over. Well, sorry, not hoping, I am going over, and next Wednesday I leave.
Okay.
Go over to Czech Republic to go trial with FK Banik Most in the northwest of Czech Republic.
Okay, so Ben, just tell us a little bit about yourself. How old are you and how long have you been playing football?
I'm 23. I've been playing football since I was 14.
So you started quite late at 14. Why did you start at 14?
Other sports. I was quite heavily into ice hockey and other things like that. And, just started playing down here at Western Creek, actually, was my first club.
So
Sorry. No, go ahead.
So what position do you normally play, Ben? What position do you consider yourself to be?
I'm a defensive midfielder, centre-back or defender. No, prefer defensive midfield.
You've been overseas a bit before, but we'll just focus on you. 23 years of age. It's quite late, I guess, to be going overseas. How on earth did you get to go to Banik Most in the Czech Republic on trial?
It's a little bit of a compounding effect. I started off a couple of years ago when I was 18. I went over with Premier Futsal Academy from here in Canberra to Brazil. And went and played over there in tournament and training camp and everything for months. And from there, I got scouted and got a scholarship and actually moved back to Brazil in 2005 and played for a city called Valença in a state futsal tournament. From there, went on to trial with Cruzeiro Juniors up in Belo Horizonte in the north of Brazil. And then down to Rio to a second division team called Estácio de Sá.
Were they futsal or outdoor clubs?
No, sorry. Cruzeiro and Estácio de Sá were outdoor football.
Yep.
And from there, I actually got a trial with Queensland Roar. That was the first year of the A-League. And so I decided to take that opportunity and come home. Moved up to Queensland for a little while and was on trial for a short-term contract up there, replacing, unfortunately, the current centre-back, Josh McLaughlin, who at that stage was one of the captains of the team, and he was out injured. So they're looking to replace someone short-term. And I was up there for a month while he was out, and then he came back from injury sooner than expected. And, I was let go.
So has that been the end of your A-League trials?
Yeah, at the moment, yeah. Hoping possibly maybe to get another one, but we'll just see how we go. At the moment, it's just training and trialing and just having some fun.
So, Ben, now you're down in Canberra at the moment, but how do you get a trial or with an A-League club like Queensland Roar?
My agent, essentially in Brazil, was contacted by a Queensland Roar member of the committee and looking to get a few Brazilian players. And he just said, well, I've also got an Australian player with me that, is actually looking to go home and wanting to play and that kind of thing. And, it's kind of went like that. I just had a phone call to the coach and he was keen to see me play and trial and went from there, I guess.
So how important is this now for you? Do you still treat it as a really serious job opportunity for yourself, or are you just like on the journey of a life? You know, you want to play football, and going over to the Czech Republic is a great step.
No, it's always an ambition to play professionally. I guess everyone who likes playing football wouldn't mind playing for a job and getting paid to do what they love. But I mean, I love traveling, and it's always good. I'm not just going for the sheer fun of it, but it's always good to just, you know, test myself, challenge myself, see what I can do.
Now, those guys are in mid-season over there. Ben, how do you manage to keep your fitness? You know, you're obviously going to get off the plane and you're going to go straight into a trial. How do you manage to keep your fitness at a level given the ACT season is long
has finished?
Yeah.
I'm a pretty active person regularly, so just running and regular activity. But I also play quite a high level of water polo here in ACT, so training for that gives me quite a good cardiovascular workout.
Sure.
So five or six hours of that a week, I mean.
How long is the trial for?
The trial at the moment is currently for 1 week, starting on the 23rd of November.
Do you have to pay your own way, if you don't mind me asking?
The way it normally works is like you pay for your flight, and then if they want you, they'll, you know, pay you back, and then everything goes from there. So normally you just pay your own flight, and then they look after you from there, food and board and picking up and dropping off wherever.
Wow. So it's an exciting journey. Now, you were in Brazil for a bit playing football, and you're 6 foot and a bit, and you're blonde Aussie. What was that like? It stood out a bit.
I stood out a bit like a sore thumb. It was good. It was a bit different. Learned the language quite quickly and picked it up, so I knew when people were making fun of me for being a 6'3" blonde Aussie. but, yeah, I loved it. I'd move back to Brazil in the drop of a hat. So
I guess that begs the question, why did you come home? Was it just for the Queensland Raw Trial?
Mainly for the Queensland Raw Trial, and, you know, had ties back home to family and that kind of thing. I guess that was it, mainly it.
And you've had trials also in a spell in England with Cheltenham Town and Exeter City. Tell us how that went for you.
It went well. The Exeter one was mixed ups and downs. It was really good. Good first opportunity. Played a testimonial match against a few well-known players. James, I've forgotten his last name. Help me.
James, we know. James,
English goalkeeper.
Oh, David James.
David James. That guy is built like a fridge.
He's a model.
He's an absolute monster. Yeah, so I played against him, and it was a little bit of a schmozzle, that trial. It was I was being played out of position, and just kind of everything didn't seem to go my way. I ended up actually hurting my left ankle, tearing a little bit of a ligament, and so that kind of ended that trial. And then I managed to get myself fit again. And
what happens then, Ben, when you injure yourself on trial at Exeter City? You know, you're away in a horrible foreign country like England. But more importantly, what happens? Are you looked after by the club, or are you just sort of, you know?
No, you're essentially cut free.
It's beautiful, isn't it? Hey,
it is. It's a great game.
Yeah, it's a great game. I guess that's the side of football that people don't really realise. You go over there, you spend your money, you have a trial, and then, you're injured, over you go, mate. Next one on, isn't it?
That's ruthless. I mean, unfortunately, unless you can offer something to them or their goals, or, you know, providing something to them, then you're not really worth much. But that's the darker side of football. But
you're living the dream if you can get a contract. Now, I suppose, have you met any other Canberrans on your journeys across the world of football? Travelling? Trialling?
In regards to football?
Yeah.
I've met other Australians.
Yep.
Met other Australians. Met a few. One in Brazil.
But no local lads trying what you're trying to do?
No, trying to remember. I don't think so.
No, okay. I guess it's a tough journey, is it?
I met another Australian in America as well. I think he might have been from Canberra as well. Can't remember too much.
Okay. So how important then, Ben? This is you're 23, going over to the Czech second division. How important is it for you? Is it really just is it really crucial you get a contract now?
Not vitally. I mean, ultimately, the reason I started looking to go overseas around about now is because the Canberra season had finished. I'd finished university for the year. Wanted to keep training and keep sure. progressing rather than just staying here in Canberra and playing local futsal and doing not much else.
How are these squads? Are the Czech Scott sides? Have they got, you would think they'd have all their players by now. And also an Aussie coming in like yourself would be seen as a bit of a threat. Is that how you see it?
No, not particularly. They're towards the latter, I think. To be actually fair, I think they only have a couple of weeks left of their season, and partly because it gets too cold, so they stop over for a couple of weeks and then begin again in beginning of January in terms of the actual game playing of the season. They'll still be training for a little while, and so they're actually looking for new players to bring in for the beginning of the year, and that's what trials for, essentially.
Okay, so if you get go well in the trial, you get the pre-season with them, and then you're ready to go. And you won't have a problem with the weather, given that you're a Canberra boy, will you?
That's right, yeah. We love playing in the cold.
Yeah, the colder the better. It would just be like being down at Cornwall. Well, Ben, you're our first phone interview, and what a fantastic interview. You've got a fantastic story, and we wish you all the best from Canberra. And, hopefully the next time we ring you, you're running out for the second division side. Just at half.
Yeah, we'll see how we go.
Yeah, get you on the phone at half-time, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
All right, thanks for your time, Ben, and get back to kicking the ball down there at Stromlo.
Okay, thank you.
Cheers.
Cheers.
That was Benny Padgett. Russ, fascinating story, fascinating journey Ben's got.
Yeah, absolutely is. I mean, Benny's been lucky in some respects, but he's put in a lot of hard work and effort to get where he is today. And like you say, you've mentioned all those clubs he was at before, and he was also with AC Milan for a little bit, having a trial over there. So he's had a few goes. With a bit of luck this time, it'll work out for him. Been a bit unfortunate with a couple of injuries when he's been in with clubs, which obviously curtails your advancement, but this time hopefully fingers crossed for Benny, and we wish him the best of luck.
It's an amazing journey, isn't it, to it's 23. I mean, most people would think at 23 you're over a contract, really, but I guess he, with his water polo background, he's obviously highly talented, highly fit. Have you seen him play?
Yeah, well, Benny, when I first came over to Australia, was playing with Toggenong United, and I had the fortune to play with him in a couple of games, and he's physically an imposing lad. He's 6'3". He's physically well built, so he's got the game to be able to play in that position, which is pretty demanding. Mm-hmm. And he's got the ball skills as well. He's got, obviously, being able to play futsal at such a high level, you've got to have the ability to keep possession and a few tricks up your sleeves, which you wouldn't think defensive midfield players would need per se. But I mean, he's definitely in a role like the Claude Makélélé role, if you like, getting possession, dispossessing people, and he has the physical attributes to do quite well.
And he's certainly, a guy from Canberra, again, he's travelling across the world on his own to play football. It's a great way to introduce himself to the community. He said he was a standout in Brazil with his white hair and his, 6'3". But also he learnt the language. So, it really doesn't matter what happens with his football. I suppose he'd like to, he'd obviously like to get a contract, whatever. But the experience he's gaining, playing futsal in Brazil, speaking the language, living with the local people. Now he's off to the Czech Republic. I mean, what a journey for a young man.
I think it's important when you do go abroad, especially if you're going to go abroad and play football, and you hear a lot about young Australians going abroad to try their luck, that you need to immerse yourself in the culture, really, to keep yourself away from being homesick, I'd imagine. Learning the language and that sort of thing is going to help, obviously, integrate yourself a little bit quicker. And it'll gain you the respect of the people that matter most, your teammates and the support staff.
Had a big chat. I was lucky enough to have fortunate enough to have a big chat with Ned Zelic when he was home just recently, and he was saying the same. Wherever he went, whichever country he played in, his first the first thing he wanted to do was to learn the language so that he would know. Well, he said so that he would know who was talking about him in the dressing room. But Ned Zelic's story, perhaps at the elite end, Ben Padgett trying to crack a contract, but it just shows the talent and the ability of Canberra people to go across the world playing football, but also to mix in with other cultures. And I think that's something that the game gives, doesn't it? Men and women. I mean, we'll probably see Caitlin Munoz, or who knows, a number of Canberra United players heading off to America in time as the American League kicks on. So there's just fantastic opportunities.
I think it's important to understand that people out there that are listening, there is a lot of quality players in Canberra. I mean, the ACT, Canberra ACT Premier League doesn't quite get the exposure that it probably deserves. And there's a lot of quality players in the Canberra ACT Premier League. The guys that Benny's kicking around with down at Stromlo, they're the Spalletta brothers. Michael's obviously a bit older now, but Adam Spalletta's a class player. A couple of other guys that come to mind, Ben Chain from Belconnen, the goalkeeper.
Yeah, I know. Paul Ivanich. He's been over to Scotland, Ben Chain, has to play with Greenock Morton in the Scottish Cup.
I mean, there's a lot of talent there that people don't realise, and I think these guys need to have the opportunity, and if there is any potential scouts out there, thinking of looking for some bargain quality players, and I think coming down to Canberra and having a look would be worth your while.
Also, the representative programme and the youth league. I mean, as those games kick on, and obviously it's just a question. We're going to get more games. It's just it's a matter of fact. These guys who are young have got the ability now to keep their fitness going and step up to the other level. And over the next 5 years, anyone who's sort of 16 at the moment, they've really got an opportunity to gain a contract at a higher level, which perhaps we haven't had in Canberra for a long, long time.
For sure, and I think the background that Australians have, which is the lucky of having that futsal background, definitely helps them as well. They get to learn the ability, the skills, lots of touches to the football. It's important, I think, and we wish Benny all the very best of luck at FK Bannockmost.
That's right, certainly something you never had, Russ, back in the old days in England.
Oh, we just kicked it and it was a bit too cold, so worry about that. We just launched it forward as far as we could.
Okay, well, thanks very much, Russ, for joining us, and as I say, great call on the weekend, and we'll have more from the Far Post on Sunday from 3 till 5. That's a 2-hour ripper of a show, and look forward to that. And we'll be back here on the Near Post next week, and wherever you are, whatever you're doing, if you're going to the Near Post or even the Far Post,
get there first.
Near Post, get there first. The Near Post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The Near Post, get there first. If it's for football news that you